You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Ender, Rob Springer, XV, Chris McFeely, Hey Mickey, and John DeLuna.
Welcome, and you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. I am your not-so-able host, Ender. And Ender, why is Ender hosting? Because I lost a bet. No, because I actually volunteered for this gig, much to my chagrin.
Well, you were the only one left who hadn't hosted yet, so.
Right, so, yeah. And I knew it would be a train wreck. So why did I volunteer for the train wreck? Because I sat back and thought, who am I to deny the long-suffering listeners of Radio Free Cybertron this train wreck? So here we are. I am joined, as ever, by Rob, John, XV. We also have TFG1 Mike helping out today. And joining us from oceans away, Chris McFeely, who I desperately wanted to have on in my continuing attempt to sleep deprive him so he can't argue with me anymore.
1 o'clock in the morning.
He unwittingly revealed today on Twitter that we are giving him bowel trouble. So,
it's working out.
Yes. Okay. He's got a duty.
So,
and joining us from superhero time is Hey Mickey.
I'm sorry, Hey Mickey.
I forgot about me. My feelings are hurt now.
Yeah, I forgot about Hey Mickey because I've never met Hey Mickey before in my life. This is our first exchange. This first awkward, embarrassing moment where I forgot him. This is
except
it, right
for
here.
The last time I was on RFC. Yeah.
Someone's paying attention.
Apparently a very memorable visit from Hey Mickey to RFC. Hopefully
best
he'll bring
start of
us
a show ever
this time. Yeah.
Wow.
And now that
I
I've set
those
the
train brakes screeching
for intros, Joe, has anything interesting happened to you this week you'd like to tell us? Anybody buy anything?
What a Snapple!
But a Snapple. We're such bad collectors.
I interviewed Wacko Warner.
See?
And what did you have to smoke to accomplish that?
Nothing. I just contacted his agent. No, I did an interview with Jess Harnell, voice of Wacko Warner and lead singer of Rock Sugar.
There we go.
Rock Sugar. That is not a combination I would have expected to hear.
Wacko Warner sing?
Yes, actually he does.
Wow. That's impressive after that awful Christmas special they did.
Ooh.
Yeah. Actually, you know, it's very funny since we're on the subject of it. Rock Sugar is the latest, I guess you could call them a mashup band, but they basically, the whole point of them is they take 80s metal and combine it with a 13-year-old girl's 80s pop collection. So their hit single right now is Don't Stop the Sandman, which combines Journey's Don't Stop Believin' and Metallica's Enter Sandman.
See, what concerns me is that it seems important that it's a 13-year-old girl's pop collection. 80s pop collection. Okay, well, moving swiftly along.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Isn't he Ironhide in the movies?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh. And Barricade, too.
Yep. And I have to cast.
Now I'm kind of disappointed that Ironhide or Barricade didn't say goodnight, everybody.
No.
Okay.
Stefan.
How much is this?
It's only a dollar.
Okay, well.
Okay, let's let Ender host the show now.
How about. Transformers fans who were disappointed that they have not been able to participate in the debacle that is MaddieCollector.com got a taste of it this week. for BotCon brings us their registration site.
smooth.
But it didn't go.
Yes.
It didn't go down, did it?
Yeah. Oh, it opened up.
It didn't explode.
Yeah. It didn't. It didn't actually kill anyone.
Right.
But if they do it, do this once a month for 13 months, I bet they'll get some angry letters. So now I didn't participate in this. I knew it was just not going to work out, but there was a host of problems, wasn't there? They were giving out the wrong numbers or double numbers and not emailing people, and who knows what
it's going to be. It doesn't seem the problems are actually as bad as they sound.
No, I think people like were expecting problems and so kind of blew some stuff out of proportion.
Yeah,
but, it is the Transformers fandom smooth, after actually. All.
Yeah. So you were able to sort of register.
Overreact Wyatt?
Yes. Yes, unlike Maddie Collector, as you said. No, you actually accomplished what you set out to do.
Yes, I mean, I thought the site would probably go down, but it didn't actually go down, did it?
Nope. Worked like a champ. I believe some people had a few problems, like their club discounts weren't going through.
And then that was the biggest problem I heard about.
Well,
yeah, mine worked like a charm, so.
All I can say to this is it took them 3 months to just get this far.
Yeah.
Well, that little boy down the street who knows computers just finished it, guys.
That free labor from the church.
Yes.
I'm working as hard as I can.
They won't like me on Facebook. What am I doing?
You know, you've been able to pre-register for Auto Assembly 2010 since Auto Assembly 2009.
Yes, but Chris, that's in England.
But their computers
and nobody cares
speak
about
English.
England.
It's a whole other problem.
Nobody cares about Auto Assembly, Chris.
Nobody cares about your face.
I would actually like to go to Auto Assembly quite badly. It's that whole, like, flying across an ocean thing, which is probably what
really
keeps them from coming to PodCon.
The international contingent seems to be up this year for Auto Assembly.
That's cool.
So, another great Transformers Online not-so-smooth news, Hasbro Masterpiece Grimlock was up on TRU.com for a little while, and we got some nifty pictures of it, and then they pulled it down.
And also the price.
Yeah, and the price, $59.99, which I think we were pretty much expecting. I
was actually expecting like $79.99, so this is actually pretty great, from my point of view at least.
How did they make it so cheap when the Takara version was so expensive?
It's not in Japan.
Yeah. That's right.
Because they don't actually plan to send them to any stores, so they don't have to worry about what they're charging for it.
Well, the big
like RC all over again.
The big difference is you buy it from a guy online versus a retailer. This is how much it costs to ship it over, guys. I'm sorry. It really costs like $2,000. I'm sorry, y'all.
Well, you know, yeah, that's true, too. But just the retail price in Japan of Grimlock was over $100.
Yeah. It was very nice.
Yeah, girlfriend's still mad.
Yeah,
that's the birthday
like
present I can never forget.
It's like, I don't know how long it was. It's been over a year, but I still feel I have a little buyer's remorse from that, honestly.
Well, especially now that it's coming out cheap, I bet.
Yeah.
Coming out cheap with the crown.
With the crown, yeah. My wife's favorite character actually is Grimlock, so I may buy this for part of some present at some point. I don't think I can get away with all of some present.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get her the Super Collection figure Grimlock PVC and call it even.
Well, I brought her from Botcon. I just got one of the little tiny mini ones, yeah.
Coral
just
cute.
A little extra touch.
So, continuing with the movie theme, it turns out that the voice of Prime in Prime will be Peter Cullen. What a surprise.
What? Well, that's just Prime.
Yes. That's just
Prime. I like it.
I could have sworn we knew that already, but apparently not.
You know, I said this on Twitter a couple of days ago when this was announced, but, I mean, is it just me? Peter Cullen is just not that remarkable to me.
Well, they're doing a movie-ish show. They're going to get the movie-ish voices.
That's I mean, just... he does a good Eeyore, but, you know, there's better primes out there.
What a review.
I don't know. To me, I always hear Cullen when I think of Prime.
I agree.
I greatly enjoyed Gary Chalk, but he's primal to me. He's not Prime.
Yeah.
I don't think of him as Prime. And David Kay was doing a whole other thing, and it's, you know, not even vaguely comparable. They're not just, you know, they're not trying to do the same kind of voice or character at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's only really been one Prime who was, you know, that Prime, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Just
call him, you know.
Yeah, they'll keep going back to Cullen until his throat falls out.
Now, they'll
put him on ice.
To be completely fair, if they make... if they make Cartoon Prime's catchphrase, "Give me your face," I will be totally behind this entire move.
That'll be the name of the first episode. The second one, "It's your face."
Autobots, transform and give me your face, give me your face, give me your face. I gotta have them. Give it to me, give it to me.
Gotta catch them all.
It hurts. Shut up. Shut up. Face.
Yeah, what they're going to find out is that Peter Cullen is old and famous now, and it's not going to be like when they were like bringing him in to do a show and abusing him for 17 hours a day and having him yell into the microphone. You're like, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it.
And that's the beautiful thing about this show. Susan Blue is not Wally Burr.
I think Susan Blue does need another choice. Scotch there, actually.
Yeah.
I make fun of Peter Cullen because I love him.
What were you saying about...
I make fun of him because I've seen him drunk. And
what
falling off an escalator.
Sue Blue not being Wally Burr.
All right. So, yeah, and apparently we have a little sub note there, which is not going to make it to New Soundwave. So we'll just say it now. Fraggle Rock in the Hub lineup.
Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
Children of the 80s.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jim Henson's weekly acid trip.
Dance your cares the f- away.
Every time they make a Hub announcement, I just want to go, "Hey, internet, watch TV from 4 to 6 and shut up."
Simon Fraggle Rock.
All right.
But honestly, how does that even relate to Hasbro properties, though? I don't understand that.
It's called content.
Yeah,
they gotta bring content from
Hasbro
somewhere.
Properties will not fill that station forever.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is it's a combination of Discovery and Hasbro.
Mm-hmm. This is like the 80s answer to early Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Fill out your schedule with whatever.
But as far as the scheduling and as far as the Hub itself, honestly, first of all, it's going to be a digital cable channel. I'm not upgrading to digital cable just for the Hub when I can go in the other room and get the DVD set off my shelf, whether it be Transformers, G.I. Joe, Fraggle Rock, whatever.
My Little Pony. Yay for me having satellite.
I'll never buy that.
You've got standards.
Standards? When did that start?
You have to wonder if they're going to get the G.I. Joe and Transformers shows, you know, the new shows, if they're going to syndicate them to any other networks, given the apparent, you know, lack of visibility this network has.
It would be awesome.
I mean, it just doesn't even make much sense to me that to launch, you know, let's be honest, Transformers is pretty much Hasbro's hottest property right now, and to launch the new cartoon off the back of your ridiculously successful live-action movies on some new network nobody's ever heard about in partnership with a channel that people just consider to be, you know, an educational channel. It doesn't, I mean...
Well, I think the whole thing
on WB or something, for Christ's sake.
Put it on my TV.
Is a tremendous act of maybe they should name the network this. Hubris, really. That's what Hub stands for. Because they're launched, you know, the point is they're going to get all the money from all the ad revenue on this. They like, own the thing. They're not like selling their license to somebody being like, okay, they're like actually involved and pulling money out of this. That's where I think they're coming from. I don't think it makes much sense either. But they, you know, canceled a lot of deals they had going on, I think, too, to do this. And everything got postponed. And they haven't had this show out in a time when they really should have. I mean, like, this would have been a good time to have something ready to hit the market with. And they're not going to have a show. I mean, right after Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, we should really have had it as early as we had animated after it rolled out in the week of the first movie, you know, end of the year, end of 2009.
Right, but here now we've got over a year's wait between the last movie and the new series.
Cyber Missions, how long the TV is that series.
Oh, boy. And how long is that going to last before the next movie comes along? Although, and to be fair, this
is ongoing, isn't it?
Well, it seems to have been planned out a little better as far as the actual relation of the things go.
But, all right, so shall we move on to our obligatory War for Cybertron news?
We have to.
Yes.
Yes, Chris, I put that in especially for you.
Yeah. Comic Book Resources. And I didn't read it because I went to High Moon Studios. I don't need to read interviews.
I feel I've learned as much as I need to learn about this game at this point, and I would like to just for it to come out now, please.
Well, if you're not sure, there's a mission trailer at Game Trailers, and it still doesn't suck. Ta-da!
Oh, boy! Trailer! I haven't seen it on the boat.
This game is pretty. How's it play? Shut up, it's pretty.
They're releasing all this stuff. By the time it comes out, we're going to be like, okay, yeah, here's that level we saw. And I played all this. Yeah, I saw this. This was in the demo. I did this.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Like, I'm not bragging on the game.
I didn't see the credits. Yeah, I know. Marketing is just something.
Yeah, I'm not ragging on the game. I'm really looking forward to the game, honestly. But it's just like
ridiculous. Stop at the onslaught.
Just just leave it out. You know, it's like, could you not just reveal all the characters at once? My nethers are not set aflame by the news of Silverbolt in this game.
I'm just relieved at every news thing that Drift isn't in it yet.
Well,
here I am smiling. Go be in your game.
I just want to get some.
I am excited about the prospect of the comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just want to see like the ancillary related media so we see exactly what we're getting in a fictional sense here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody seems to be disagreeing with everybody, and this Hyman are saying it's a movie prequel, apparently, and then Hasbro are saying it's the basis of their
I don't know what the disagreement is about, but it's loosely a G1 cartoon prequel, actually, if it's anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like
to me. At that point in the story. And that's
Batman Year One.
I heard those words from the director of the game's mouth.
And the other thing, as far as a prequel to TF3, that's going to be the movie cartoon.
And it's like, you know, but I mean, the people, there's the suggestion that it's somewhat going to be related to Prime as well. I mean, basically, Hasbro sort of seems to be treating it, well, to make an unfair comparison, the way they were treating the Dreamwave continuity when it was happening, which is, this is the continuity. Now, oh, shit, they went out of business. Right, this game is the continuity.
Well, you know,
that never sits well with
no.
I don't, you really can't blame sense. Hasbro. You really can't blame Hasbro. They're like, look, the 5-year-old kids know it's Optimus. Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's what they're going for. They're like, it's Optimus.
If you just want to give me a Batman Year One style nebulous origin that will be henceforth applied as the backstory to whatever cartoon or film or comic you make about it, fine. But the mind of the fandom does not work that way at the best of times.
Yeah, and in lesser news, Variety and others apparently have reported that Megan Fox will not be in Transformers 3. Her option has not been picked up by Paramount.
I wonder if Hef has called her yet.
She's just sitting there staring at her thumbs. It's your fault.
Only if she can read.
No.
Yeah. Somebody asked me if losing her would adversely affect the story, and I just kind of laughed.
Story? We're talking about how you know Bayes and what's his name Kruger are still are just you know getting ready to finish up the script, and it's like you're shooting.
Yeah, you're shooting, but that was the case with Revenge of the Fallen too. The same thing happened last time.
It's just like Ethan Kruger and Bay sitting there in a diner across the street from the set writing stuff out on napkins. You know? This is going to be great.
I'm sure more movies than you would imagine are actually made that way.
Especially action movies.
Yeah.
So let's go drive that car in those boxes and then work into film. That sounds good.
Yeah, we'll find somewhere to put that later. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what they're shooting. Let's be honest. I mean, that's what they were doing with Revenge of the Fallen as well. They were just filming the
car. You know, I bet that car would look cool flipping over.
Don't you think that car would look cool flipping over? Let's work that into the film.
The most important thing they have to plot out for one of these movies is where the explosion will be.
Everywhere?
Michael Bay's mind works.
Michael Bay is sitting there at the set smoking a dupe. Okay, guys, I got it. The robot's going to piss on something.
You know, it's just a string of sequences that somebody thinks will look cool when you put them together in a certain order.
They'd be like, Michael, he pissed on something in the first movie. You'd be like, not a monkey.
And then the monkey explodes. Guys, got a scene. It's like, we got fire Megan Fox. Okay, get someone else to yell Sam at least once.
Sam!
Okay, you're fired.
Speaking of monkeys, we got This Day in History. What?
I was just going to say that.
Something happened.
On May 21st of 2003, War and Peace number 2 is released in the U.S. by Dreamwave Productions. See, that's the monkey connection.
Oh, the monkey in the fire.
Yeah.
Monkey knocked over the candle. Okay.
That's
walking
right.
Shirtless.
That's exactly
I thought you were just making some kind of disparaging remark about their abilities.
The famous Mrs. O'Lee's monkey that started the great Dreamwave fire.
Say what you want about Dreamwave Productions, but nobody, and I mean nobody, can walk away shirtless from an explosion like they can. Just smoking cigarette. Goddamn, I'm cool.
I'm pretty sure Pat Lee kept the shirt on his back, unlike most of the other people that worked for Dreamwave.
What, even his shirt?
You know, it's great how, like, the last 3 weeks in a row, we've managed to work Pat Lee and Dreamwave into the whole thing somehow. Apparently I'm alone in that thought, but okay.
I'm just like, hey, you got a point there. He hasn't been relevant for longer than he actually was relevant. We really need to let go of this thing.
Yeah, say what you will about Transformers fandom. We can hold a grudge.
Yeah, but when it's such a spectacular thing like Pat Lee was and the whole Dreamwave collapse, you know, it sticks with people for a long time.
I just really wish it would stick with somebody outside of Transformers fandom so he wouldn't keep getting friggin' work.
Part of makes, I think, Pat Lee thing stick so well is, if you guys remember the whole 2002 leading up that comic, this is going to be the best book ever. Everyone was saying, this is awesome, this is awesome. Ooh, Furman's going to write on Armada because they care about the property they're putting out. That first book came out, everyone looked at each other. What? You know, we had a couple of months lead up, and literally, where are the robots? I don't get this. What's going on? Is this Thunderbirds or something?
If only that was actually an accurate representation of how it went, instead of everybody just sort of being blinded for about 6 months into thinking it was brilliant and it polluting the minds of a generation of fan artists into thinking that was the only way you could ever draw Transformers, and I'll stop now because I could really go on.
I just remember everyone, before that book even came out, this is going to be the best thing ever. And those same people, can I erase something off Usenet? Because I want that going down in history.
If some big Transformer name was going to flake out, why couldn't it be Bay? Just like leave Revenge of the Fallen half done. Would anyone have minded?
He did.
Ah, yes. My mistake. Silly me.
Screenwriting right. Guild. Well, let's just film it anyway. Well,
the difference there would be that Bay is raking in the money, whereas Pat Lee lost it all. Well, it's like, you know. Well, yes, people would have raised the stinky
Michael Bay. As we transition back into yelling at each other about Bay and Dreamwave and Revenge of Fallen, which could go on for decades.
It's a whole cyclical thing.
Yeah.
How about that contest?
Yes, there's a contest, and XV is going to tell us all about it, because I've forgotten.
Well, our current contest We are giving
all right.
away.
And now I've been reminded. If you drop it, XP, I'll do it. I can do it.
Thank you. That's fine with me. Go for it.
We're giving away a $50 gift certificate to be Big Bad Toy Store. And a $25 gift certificate to Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah, you're doing this so much better than I was, Ender.
Oh, yeah. No, I suck. Train wreck. This is the train wreck. I do this for the people. I am the joke this week.
Yeah, hey, this month's contest, the first prize is a $50 Big Bad Toy Store gift certificate. The second prize is a $25 Big Bad Toy Store gift certificate. And the third prize, ho-hum, it's just a Transformers animated RC. Nobody cares about that. To enter our contest, become a fan or follower on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email at brian@tfradio.net and tell us that you want to enter the contest. We will announce the winner on the live broadcast on May 26th. If you're already a fan or a follower, you are already entered into the contest, unless you've won before, in which case, stop pestering us.
Thank you, XV. And now I'm off to the corner to go and cry, and we'll be right back.
Let's not talk about my toys.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
As Supreme Military Commander, King of Kings, and President for Life of the Socialist Democratic Federated Republic of Carbonia, I order you Decepticons out of my country by sunset tomorrow.
Over 3,000 photos, more than a dozen different toy lines, 6 cameras. How do you measure 5 years? FigureReviews.com brings you in-depth reviews and the best toy photography online. Join RAC and XV for quality toy reviews, photography, and just plain awesome. FigureReviews.com.
Transformers. It's better than crack.
Power Rangers, Masked Rider, Super Sentai, and lots of Burning Justice. Check out Superhero Time at tfradio.net. Superhero Time, here we go. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
And welcome back to Occupied Free Cybertron. I am still, despite best intentions, your host, Ender. And
we'll try harder next time.
We are joined now by one of our big fans and a longtime listener and all-around good egg.
Well, Abdul.
Yeah. Thank you, Rex, also known as Amy on Earth. And welcome, Lady Rex. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, pleasure. And now, and she also writes reviews for Moonbase 2's forums, comic book reviews.
Yep.
So you can go and check those out there. And gentlemen, we're going to move into our topic now. I have no transition because I'm no good at this. And if I let you go 2 more seconds, you'll start talking over me.
That's true.
So what we're talking about this week.
Burn black.
Yeah. So what we're talking about this week is the difference between Autobots and Decepticons and how it's kind of changed and you know what it really means. And I think what we're looking for here is like kind of a continuity thing, like when it pisses you off that someone's out of character, why is that? Like, is there a baseline of Autobot and Decepticon? Like is there a philosophy or is it just the rub sign? I mean, like, what's the deal? And I'm looking for something kind of fan-ish here. I'm not just looking for the, you know, basicest, you know, because Bob Budiansky said so answer.
Well, he did.
I know, yeah. But that was day one, and this is day 8,000, so. Where I think, well, because I think this is something that's evolved in people's heads, and it does kind of mean something now, and you can't just, you know, people were taken aback by things that happened in the movie, and I personally have a lot of issue with the way they're portraying what the factions are in the ongoing comic right now. So it is a current issue. And, you know, sometimes it gets more or less trite. And, you know, that was not my kids, by the way, everybody.
That was mine. Sorry.
See, it's not just me. See, this is good news, people who are listening. This means Transformer fans do actually procreate.
Well, that's
which nothing else on this podcast
news.
Has proven.
Right. Also, it congratulations to our good friend Hooper X on his first child now.
Yes.
Congratulations. Happy birthday, Felton.
Hooper's baby. And our other listener and friend, Chris Goes by Bruco, just had his first kid last week.
Wow.
So,
springing up like weeds.
The disc will go on.
I'm still young.
And I just got a new kitten. Yay.
It's a protoform explosion.
All right, Chris.
Our babies are awesome.
So, Chris, since we're going to have to tell you to shut up at some point. Why don't you start?
No, I don't. I really have no idea where to start with this. I don't know. Somebody else go. Honestly, I don't know.
Let's pass.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, let's pass on that,
Chris. Thank you for joining. Yeah. I bet you're glad you stayed up until 1 a.m. to do that.
Yeah. I need something to work off of here. I'm not quite sure what angle to approach this from. Somebody
That's
go
a good
first.
Point. Andrew, why don't you get us started on this then?
Okay, well,
since this was your idea in the first place.
Anyway, well, I'll give you what made me think of it, and that's in the ongoing right now. There's been a lot of sort of, you know, they're doing the war is over. What do you do? So we're kind of getting to see the Autobots with no one to shoot at is the idea, and what they seem to do is nothing. They don't seem to have any goal or, you know, any plans they were trying to enact. They're not trying to go and, you know, clean up their base somewhere or go back to Cybertron or amend anything they did. They're just kind of sitting there. So I always imagined that the Autobots wanted something, you know. I mean, the Decepticons clearly, yeah, a fruit stand, something, you know. Clearly the Decepticons just think of them as, you know, nosy space hippies. But
nice.
But I would think they were going somewhere. And to the same token, you know, the Decepticons, you know, are they? Is it an evil thing? I think, is it a conquest thing? Like, it's hard to, you know. There's characters like Dinobot that have, like, seem to have a sense of honor. Even and before that, if you look closely, Cyclonus seemed to have some sense of it too. So, is it just? You know, how simple does it have to be, or how detailed can it be? I mean, there's even then you go into like the AEC stuff where it's just like, you know, you're on one side of the black hole or the other kind of thing. I mean,
I don't know when you say that though, but then,
you know,
you say that, but it's like Armada and Energon were two of the ones that blurred the lines the most at the end. And, you know, in the interim in the series when the two factions actually actively allied, and some guys were perfectly happy to do it.
Well, we got to get a job done, for guys. All right.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's happened before in the comic books, for one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's something big going on, not everybody on both sides is against working together to get it dealt with. You know, it seems to mostly be ideological differences that split the factions.
That's not what Grimlock says.
Well, maybe not,
Grimlock.
But...
Yeah, Grimlock pretty much took some Autobots around shooting things between G1 and G2.
Which, I mean, that's fine. That's very Grimlock of him. He's not a peacemaker. Well, he is a peacemaker, but in a completely different kind of way.
Yeah, shoot. So I've always gotten this is the philosophical base that I always thought was what kind of brought G1 together and why the sort of premise keeps resurfacing and why it applies to the whole giant robot thing. And they were trying to come up with some, you know, reason these things were on Earth and why they'd be protecting us or whatnot. And what it is that you sort of start out with this premise that they're like the most powerful things, at least relatively, in their area. And so that when the Decepticons woke up one morning and decided, hey, you know what, we're going to go take over the galaxy, the only plausible defense was the Autobots, that nothing else could stop them. And so it's sort of like a Decepticon feels that their strength gives them the right to rule versus an Autobot feels that their strength gives them a responsibility to protect.
But then that's always cursed the Autobots with a very reactive nature.
Right.
And so in many ways, I suppose, it's not very surprising in the ongoing. And it's indeed, you could almost argue, expected that they're sort of at a loose end now that they believe the war to be over because they've spent their whole lives. I mean, it's not like they've actively sought to wage war. They've spent their whole lives reacting. Some of these guys have literally only come online in this time unknown, and reaction is all they know. So now that they've actually got, you know, nothing to react against, they are. It's understandable that the way some that you know that they won't know what to do. Whereas Decepticons, even as far back as the Marvel series, you remember whenever the end of the Marvel series, when the Alliance fell down there, the first thing they did was bugger off somewhere else and just start killing and slaughtering again, just like in the even now in the ongoing as well. Decepticons never lay down their arms.
Yeah, I mean that's it's a feeling I've had about this too, which is that for most of them, they don't know anything else but to be fighting each other. Some of them can try to move past it when the alliances happen, but it does leave them kind of at a loss for anything to do with their time.
I mean, with Decepticons, in many ways, I can almost see it. I would kind of almost expect the Decepticons to be able to move beyond it a little faster because they're in it for the conquest and the power. So when they've actually accomplished that and they've accomplished their goal, you know, and they can sit back in their throne of corpses and actually enjoy the power and have the oil brought to them in the goblet by the slave or whatever. But Autobots,
the goblet.
Skywarp can go push people downstairs with nothing else to take up his time.
But what do you do when you, as you're, if you're an Autobot, whenever you've got peace, it's like you have to. Your whole reason for being is you've got peace, but what happens next? You know,
that kind of makes them big hypocrites. That well, all we want is peace. Well, now we got peace. What do we do? You want to go shoot somebody?
I got an idea. Let's have a standoff with those badgers across the hill.
Well, we should go
video games with Torque 3 in the background.
We should go fix Cybertron. No, we're just going to sit here. Why are you so pissed off, Hot Rod? Kind of boring.
Actually, yeah, come to think of it, I suppose Animated was one of the best examples of Autobots living, actually getting, because Autobot Animated begins after the war, as it were. Autobot civilization has got on with its life and is doing things, and people have, you know, I mean, the whole central cast of Animated are guys who had a mundane job that they went off and did instead of sitting around on their hands not really knowing what to do.
And that's actually an interesting point to bring up too, with the Animated, is that you get the implication from that while there is peace on Cybertron and the Autobots have in some way or another moved on with their existence, the Autobot government does not seem to be quite such the altruistic entity that you would normally expect an Autobot society to be.
I would expect any government that basically was forged in war would probably turn out to not be the nicest group of guys.
Right.
So it's but, not like know, anything either, because no. You had Megatron Origin putting forward an Autobot government that wasn't quite as pleasant as all appearances suggested. Without justification as well, because they hadn't had war yet.
I guess I was expecting more in this sense, if there was an end to the war that the Autobots won, that it would be more like a reconstruction, you know, type period, like as in, you know, Civil War reconstruction, where it was a troubled period of trying to reintegrate the two parts of their society, as opposed to they seem to have jumped to just some kind of like post-Vietnam, post-traumatic stress syndrome story.
Both sides are basically leading their own existences, just not interacting with each other like before.
Yeah,
I mean, there's the idea of reconstruction, but I get maybe the idea of reconstruction is kind of born of the fact that we're looking at it, you know, as readers of something fictional. You know, we do see the Transformers, yeah,
but it is something fictional. Race. I mean, somebody made this
like,
up. You know, it's not like there was, you know, it's not like someone has to follow a historical text here to write this story.
No, I know, but it's like, you know, it's like we look at it as like the Transformer race reintegrating, but really, isn't that about as likely as the human race reintegrating after a war? You know,
well, but so, it does happen after civil wars. Yeah. No, well, that's exactly it. That's, you know, like, hey, did you work there? Yeah, I fired the cannon shells into that. That sucked, huh?
Sorry about your dad. Shame.
The danger with coming to go – sorry, I'm jumping in here real quick. The danger of doing that is that normal life is kind of boring, actually. And so they have to be careful about – because with the genre, that, especially in comic books, it's different with media, but with comic books, you've only got 22 pages. So if you're going to tell real life, well, where's the conflict? If you don't have a conflict, then you don't have anything to really move you forward in the story. And so – you know, showing real life every day, you know, this is what we do. You'd have to really think outside the box and really work really hard to make a conflict that works. And right now it's just easier to do a war. Because,
yeah, and that's, you know, the deal. It's a lot harder to do war character study. Yeah. It's just harder. I mean, everyday life could probably be very interesting. In fact, it would be. It would just require good writing. It would require really intelligent writing. And it's a shame that that's not worth their time, or it's just such a hard thing to do that, you know, they might as well blow something up. It's easier.
Well, I suppose it's a statement that holds true sort of within the fiction and without. Peace is harder than war, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's
deep, brother.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly it.
You can tell how long Chris has been up, can't you?
Dude, man, I'm seeing colors.
Yeah, it's almost 2 a.m. for Chris McFeely, so we should applaud his dedication to being here.
That's when I'm at my feet.
Hey.
Chris, we're not doing new Soundwave this week.
Yeah, well, I'm not, anyway.
No, we will be skipping new Soundwave this week.
Yeah. You gotta go read comics.
He's got other dork stuff to do.
Yeah, maybe somebody will turn up to record with me this week.
Yeah, that's right. We all ditched you.
Yeah, I was sitting there plaintively. A huge week of comics last week as well. Siege ended, Return of Batman and Robin. Now we got the new Avengers books all launching this week. It's going to be a 2-hour show at least, I reckon.
Oh, reckon.
I'm from Illinois. I don't reckon. All right. Well,
anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
With that, I think we're going to bring this. Is there anything else, XV? What can I do for you?
I don't know. We've only been talking about this for like 15 minutes.
Well, it just seemed to be trailing off or going off on other things. All right. Well, no, I can talk about it some more.
Yeah.
The movie. What's up with the Autobots and the Decepticons in the movie? It just seemed like they're just shooting at each other because Megatron shot at somebody when he lost a pool game or something.
It's Michael Bay. That is what happened.
Yeah. I suppose the difference between the Autobots and in the movie and everything else really is that they are actually proactive and not reactive. They're actually going out there and looking for the Decepticons. It's not really a peacetime, but, you know, they're not waiting for the Decepticons to rise from their evil underwater headquarters and pillage some electro cells. They're actually going out there.
My favorite cartoon, like they'd come up, but they'd shoot at the Decepticons until they left the little oil base or whatever, and then the Decepticons fly away, and Ironhide's like, let's go get them, Prime! And Prime's like, no, that's not how we play.
Yeah.
We like losing.
So, you know, in many senses,
very lazy.
That's not the game, Ironhide.
You know, as far as war goes, being proactive and actually, you know, seeking out your enemy that's hiding on your, you know, hiding in your, I don't want to say home, it doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean, like
protectorate.
I've heard it assured by more than one person that the Autobots are just waiting to defeat the Decepticons with the humans' help so that they can take over the Earth.
You know, Beast Wars did it really well with the Autobots and Decepticons basically turning into political forces. Mm-hmm. And then you just had like odd terrorist groups and the big bad Maximals had to hunt them down and be, no, stop that.
So that'd be great if the comics did that, where they like had a peace and there was like some kind of Autobot provisionary government and like the Decepticons were like Hamas.
You know, it really doesn't speak much for the Autobots if you think Marvel comic-wise. Okay, the war's over. We're all sitting here at peacetime, nothing to do. Grimlock's leading guys going and picking off fights. But the whole time, Bludgeon's flying around in his planet-shaped spaceship, randomly attacking planets. And then,
they don't do one thing about it.
Yeah, they miss G-axis somehow. I understand in the middle of the war, you might get lost. But we haven't been fighting for a few years. Hey, what's this other Decepticon ship flying around doing stuff? who cares? Maybe they're you know. Yeah, that's really. And then you never talk about G1 cartoon. No, let them leave.
Huh? Okay, and then let's talk about G2 for a minute too, because that brings up the alternate theory of the distinction between Autobots and Decepticons, which is that all Decepticons are descended from Liege Maximo, who is apparently just plain an evil character.
Just big, bad, and fat.
Yeah. And apparently very tall.
Yes.
That looks like a six. Liege Maximo is one of those extensions of the continuity that's so sort of specialized and so extra dorky, I very rarely incorporate it into my thoughts in the series.
Liege Maximo is he's like this big, bad, big, bad, big, bad. He finally gets there. Hi, I'm bad. Shoot him. Okay, he's done.
Yeah, I only meant to bring up the fact that there is at least one instance where they're saying that there is a genetic predisposition mm-hmm. toward the Decepticons being evil.
Yeah.
Rather than it being
Megatron's
just...
dad was evil, so he turned out evil.
Yeah. Because that makes sense. Son. That always happens.
Yeah.
Hereditary.
You know, that's a theory Furman's been... Not consistently, but... occasionally putting forward since Unicron blew up basically in the Marvel comics, because that's what Grimlock opins in the issue after. He says the war is about genetics and that one side is good and one side is bad and that's it. And then Furman just sort of occasionally and consistently brings that back up every now and again. At the least maximal
story of his career.
Now, this, of course, is not like a point of continuity, but I got to say, overall, I really dislike the sort of genetic notion.
Yeah, it's cheap. It cheapens the concept of the war. It's like we fight because it's built into us and we have to. And
well,
God said so.
Even the concept that evil is not a choice at all. Go ahead.
It's always a more interesting and compelling story when it is all shades of gray and you don't have these guys are just evil because they are and these guys aren't. You know, when it's somebody's choice to behave the way that they do and it's not 100% evil all the time, you know, there's more depth to the characters that way.
Yeah, or even you can just say that what makes an Autobot good and a Decepticon evil is just the fact that one side cares what they step on during the fight and the other side doesn't.
Right.
I mean, the irony of the thing like was that for being the guy who put that theory forward, that Furman was the one who fleshed out at the early days of the war, I think he was probably the first guy that really did it with some of the UK annual stories like State Games and There Shall Come a Leader, where we saw the war kicking off and Megatron's gladiatorial beginnings and everything like that, where he actively made these decisions instead of just being all, rawr, I is evil.
Right, stories like that seem to want to portray that the Decepticon cause at least started out as
sort of a freedom fight. Intention, yeah. Because, I mean, they State Games, as I recall, presented, like, the Autobot ruling class as kind of... What was that?
What?
Hmm?
Something went bang in my ear.
Oh,
sorry.
voices.
Yeah, some voices. Just ignore those. Keep going.
Okay, so the Autobot ruling class was...
kind of enfeebled and outdated, and that was what prompted Megatron to try and... You know, I mean, that's really the best portrayals of Megatron have always been the portrayals of the character who genuinely believes that he can bring a glory to Cybertron that is lost.
Well, I think that's always, but that was the, his original line, peace through tyranny, was
exactly,
kind of a
yeah.
deep thought, really. I mean, they just meant it as a quick little whatever, but it really is.
It's not one you see very often.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that is kind of echoed back in Beast Wars, too, with the little bit of backstory we get there. you know, where it is a maximal ruling class and Predacons are very much second class citizens. And, you know, that Megatron wants to gain power for himself to overthrow that, granted for less than noble intentions, but still, it's another one of those instances where your Autobot or maximal leadership is not really addressing the best interests of everybody who's around.
And that Megatron progresses so far into just a sense of selfishness, basically, that he's just trying to be the only person alive.
You guys were talking about choice earlier. I think it's good that we bring up Dinobot with this part of the discussion because Dinobot defected. He made a choice. He didn't just be a Predacon.
Yeah, kind of wishy-washy there toward the end, though.
Well, but that's what that was part of what made the character compelling, though, too, is that it wasn't real easy. He was betraying one thing that he believed in on the one hand, but on the other hand, he was feeling, you know, a calling of something greater, and that, you know, he knew this wasn't the right thing to do. That there was no, you know, he had the big honor thing. There was no honor in the way they were behaving. That he wanted to conquer and rule, but not at any cost.
He always made the distinction.
But he cared, you know, there was a time and a place to step on things.
Yeah. He made the distinction that even though he had his honor, it wasn't the same honor that the Maximals had.
Yeah.
Which really, you know, it's a big
thingy.
Yeah, in the face of the whole war is genetic thing. Because even shows like Armada give us characters like Starscream, who it's got to be one of the only times that somebody in a character in Transformers actively chose to change sides. You know, not out of, I mean, actually Starscream's reasons for changing sides in that show were pretty good, actually, because he just chose to change sides because he was being brutalized and mistreated and not respected. Not because he actually wanted to go off and do good, but because he just thought it was the best thing for himself rather than for anybody. But not a selfish sense.
He went and looked for a new job.
Yeah, it's like, screw this, I'm going to go hang out with the cool kids for a while.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about Armada is you actually got Decepticon-only episodes where you got to see a little of their inner working versus, we're going to get them, yeah!
Another thing, even in the sort of cartoon Quintesson description of them, there was, you know, just the notion that they'd built two sets of robots. There was workers, basically, and like, weapon robots, yeah, attack robots, military-grade things, and that, you know, that just sort of inherently meant like some of these are more violent than others.
See, I buy that a lot more.
Yeah,
as a
that concept. I don't mind. Well, because I feel
I
like
buy it more than
really
the idea.
Really would, yeah, sorry.
The genetic. I buy it more than genetics because, well, the G1 cartoon was always very much tales of science gone wrong compared to the more mystic qualities that the Marvel Comics injected into the Transformers. Unicron was a science project, and Transformers were created by science.
Unicron origin that we got in season 3 completely sucked.
Yes, but it was
We're talking about that it introduced an idea that some of them are this way because they are, you know, sort of the warrior class. They are
one of them just
more
like
violent,
what they look like.
More evil. They are more likely to bash your head in, but that, you know, not necessarily because they're inherently bad. And I always thought that was a good explanation for like characters like Grimlock and the Dinobots. That they were, you know, they were fighters. They were the military robots, but they are ones who chose to be on the side that wasn't just going to step on everything. Right. And that
I just like to imagine one of those. I like to imagine one of those military robots just sort of looked down one day at the cannon stuck to his arm and was like, "What does this do?" And I'm like, "Oh, shit! That's awesome! That's some more."
Well, I don't think somebody like Soundwave might be, you know, the reverse, who is like a technical person who just really liked to torture things.
Well, there's Skyfire then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Skyfire was an Autobot to start with. Well, I don't know, in the cartoon anyway. In the cartoon, well, yeah, because it was before they'd had their falling out between the Autobots and Decepticons. Skyfire was an Autobot who was friends with
Decepticons. Yeah, he seemed to have the concept of Autobot and Decepticon explained to him, even when he came out of it.
Well, Skyfire was kind of the most useless Autobot anyway.
Yes.
It's like, hey, big guy, I'm going to fly. Pew! Now he's down.
Yeah.
Every episode.
I'm big, but I suck.
I can fly you guys around, but no more guns. No more guns. At least Omega Supreme's useful, and all he does is sit around while we're fighting.
And blow up. He blows up a lot.
Yes. And somehow pulls over everything out of his forearms.
Well, they're kind of big forearms.
The only thing we could bring up with this topic is the fact of the Constructicons. Even though they have three different convoluted origin stories, one of them was that they were good guys, and then Megatron changed their programming. So that's basically forcing them into being evil.
Again, tales of science gone wrong, where that's conceivably something you could do in the cartoon, whereas it wasn't so much something that...
Yeah.
You know, now that we have Sparks in Transformers Fiction after Beast Wars, it's a lot harder to quantify these concepts, because you've got the Spark as the true soul on the one hand, and you've got the idea of, like, data tracks, which are the mind and the actual physical memories and characteristics, whereas the spark is just like the spark of life. But it's a lot harder to quantify the idea of reprogramming now that we have this extra layer added to the concept. Yeah. But Hasbro said in one of those Q&As in the last couple of months that over the next, whatever, year and a half, they want to really explore what robot life is. So, you know, I'll believe it when I'm reading it, but it is something I'd be interested in seeing them do something with if they ever do actually get around to it.
I think it depends on how well they do it. I mean, it could be done in such a way that we'd never recover.
Yes, that's not impossible.
Well, you know, they had laser cores in G1 already, which were Sparks pre-name. And in
Beast Wars, like, they didn't have any mystical qualities. They just named them twice, and you get the idea that it was the pulsing bit of energy in them that kept them going.
But, I always I think that Decepticons called them laser cores because they believed them not to have any mystical property.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with Sparks, Autobots, we still had Jetstorm. Sparks,
well, you know, you had
you had
laser cores and personality components.
Yes.
And the shell programs,
then, you know,
the way that they went around the spark.
I mean, Beast Wars is pretty consistent in the way that sort of thing worked. I mean, the idea was that there was the spark, which was the life, the soul, and there was the data tracks, which were the brain, the memories, the actual physical personality of the Transformer. I mean, that's generally how off the top of my head, the way the Binal Tech fiction glossed it to explain how Chip took over Prowl's body and was still Prowl after Prowl's spark got lost. But it's like you look back at the Generation 1 cartoon and it's like, how does a spark relate to a personality component where... You know, that would mean, I mean, if you say the personality component is the data tracks, which it could conceivably be because it's got their memories and their and all that in them. But, you know, does that mean the Combaticons are waltzing around without sparks? Or does Grimlock not give the Technobots sparks or whatever, you know? But then that's the way the Generation 1 cartoon worked, is that tales of science. It was all science. Like, robots didn't have all this. There was no magic in their life. They were just programmed. Vector Sigma wasn't magic. It was just the only computer advanced enough to program a Transformer mind, and super smart Grimlock program a Transformer mind.
Wires together and the Transformer is alive.
I
gotta say that, you know, since I've been watching Beast Wars and Beast Machines and all that stuff for the podcast that I do on it, it is easily the best continuous continuity of Transformers fiction out of everything.
As just far as that?
No.
Well, yeah, I mean, Mike, welcome back. Welcome to 1998, Mike.
Well, there's a reason its concepts have been accepted retroactively so wholeheartedly by everything, you know?
Yeah, no, it was really well put together. It was, you know, certainly the best thing on the screen that's come out for the Transformers. So now I can't just wholeheartedly say the best Transformers fiction, which I used to, because I have read less Stand of the Wreckers.
Well, I was saying as far as the cartoons go, not as far as... I'm not saying comic fiction. I'm saying as far as between G1, the reused G1 episodes that was G2, and, you know, animated and all that stuff, and the Unicron trilogy, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, they're the two...
Shoulders, yeah.
Well, animated snipping at its heels.
Oh, well, yeah, that's animated snipping. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I can see that.
Transformers is, fiction-wise, is probably one of the best examples of making crap up as long as you go.
Yeah.
Without
next really thinking, perhaps to Star Wars.
Yeah, without thinking, you know, next year we might have to write something new. We'll worry about that next year.
And see, okay, that's what scares me about this new cartoon, because I fully believe it's going to be a movie tie-in between Revenge of the Fallen and whatever the third one's going to be titled.
Well, the thing is, they're hoping for, what, 5 seasons at least? I think it might bypass, right. It might be like, wow, Batman Animated, where it's similar, yeah, but just I enough to be probably different.
If it had, yeah, the quality of Batman solidly the Animated series, that would be so fantastic.
Yeah.
No, don't jazz yourself up for a fall there.
Yeah, I know.
And just remember, guys, we can always worry about Hasbro pulling a Takara thing on us. Like, what do you mean? It's all one thing now? Huh?
Takara is actually mostly was one thing already. They're, you know, there's less was retroactively added into the continuity than you would think when you read that timeline. But
it's just like, so now this took place in the past. Well, it's what happened?
I'm not denying it's not a brain and it's not a head scratcher, but there was less that was actually retroactively incorporated and altered than you would at first think.
Yeah,
it's just sort of to see it all put down there in front of you it does blow one's tiny mind. All right,
it was very feasible to put those things together because they did pretty much suck in equal proportion.
Talking about.
You maintained a relative suck level throughout.
Nice.
I don't even know what you're referring to.
I thought I was referring to the Armada, Energon, Cybertron combination.
I was talking about the massive. I thought Rob was talking about the massive Takara timeline, where they put like robots and guys, G1 and all that other stuff.
Oh, that thing. I wasn't even thinking of that. I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to the combination of those three shows.
Well, they were, yeah. No, it was like those two were, it was Hasbro jammed Cybertron into.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were, when you were saying Takara, you were referring to the shows having been made overseas. I'm sorry.
Yeah, all right, right. We got that all.
My bad.
Well, now it's looking like Hasbro's doing that themselves. I mean, you guys read the profiles from Hall of Fame. It's like, Jazz is a ninja now.
Well, those things are strange.
Yeah.
That's worrisome that they're doing that kind of thing. The whole unifying thing is very worrisome.
Yeah.
Just as long as RID didn't happen at the same time as the movie and G1 actually happened 5,000 years ago, we're good.
It's like trying to like combine Legend of Zelda continuity. It's like, not really.
Oh, my sock.
It just seems like it's some executive at Hasbro who doesn't get it, who's like, well, we can put all these together, right? Just like, we're not so sure about this, Jim. No, it'll be fine.
It's not actually impossible to do if they were to have written them generally, generically, vaguely enough. But for some reason, they decided to make oddly specific references to stuff that never happened. So I don't get. Yeah, Grimlock's voice got damaged by a dartboard. Scorponok!
Was that in that same fight where Megatron lost the pool game?
I assumed they were maybe making some kind of muddled reference to spotlight Grimlock, but I don't know.
See, that would be a scene for the end of the war. Then Prowl would come out and be like, first thing we're doing, we're going to close that bar. Damn it. It's enough of this galactic warfare.
Sentinel friend closed the bars, all right. He knew what he was doing.
You know, if you really want to put genetics into the war thing, even though it kind of really takes some of the personality out of Transformers, you got to think, hey, this gun just comes out of my knee for some reason.
Yeah.
And then,
the gun in knee gene.
Yeah, it's like, am I supposed to do so? Okay, I'm going to disguise myself to look like that car. Hey, how come there's a gun on my arm all of a sudden?
Asking people if they have a communications array is like asking if they can roll their tongue.
Hey, Soundwave. Oh, you already know what I'm thinking? Cool. I wonder why we got all these abilities. I don't know. We'll go fishing. Hey, you just shot. Hey, we could shoot somebody. Hell yeah, man.
Now, Billy, I don't want you hanging out with those boys down the street. They're hatchbacks.
Hey, Bludgeon, why do you look like a skeleton with a sword? Mm-hmm.
What's that on your head? That's my head. Oh, sorry about that. You think that's bad? My chest splits open. A robot jumps out. You want to see? No. But yeah.
No, it would be, what's that in your chest? My head.
What's that in your chest, Bob?
Soundwave's just sitting down. I feel them again. There's something in me, man. I can hear them, dude. This is good. I don't like this at all. But push this thing. Ooh, oh, shit, like an arm, yeah. Army just came out of me.
Soundwave, you got these problems one day, and, you know.
I guess we're supposed to fight now, huh, Blaster? You think?
That's genetics.
I don't know. All of a sudden, these guys are coming out. They didn't last season.
You're red, and I'm blue.
Oh. Time to start punching.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so, Andrew, you want to try to end this now?
Yeah, I think we've now that we've Robert
I think we've taken after, this as yeah. far as we possibly can.
Or at least as far as we possibly should.
Yes.
So, Amy, you already podcasted about Wreckers 5, didn't you, with
I did.
With Kal-El, so.
So, that was yesterday, so I'm fired up for it.
Sorry. So, go on, tell us about it. Let's hear from you first. What were your, obviously there's the awesome factor, but I mean, like, beyond that, what was awesome?
The one thing that I really liked that really took me in was the fact by the end of it, it kind of seemed like there was more. I like seeing a little bit more of the political type of stuff that they had in it, because you get this, they have these trials that were going on, and it seems like Prowl was, you know, in on it, and it's just this whole political thing that isn't there that you wonder, I just liked that. And so,
it seems like a bigger universe than what we're seeing elsewhere.
We only see so much, and then all of a sudden you get this thing, oh, there's trials. Oh, wow, there were a lot of people that did bad things. And it kind of grazed the lines, kind of like we were already talking before earlier on the cast. But I like that. It creates, you know, everything is not so black and white as you think, because, you know, life is really not black and white like that either.
Well, even the whole, like, you know, they were in, like, negotiations with people on some planet called Pova that meant, you know, that were important, that were important enough that Prowl was telling them to release people and do stuff. And that just seemed like a different, very different universe from what we see in the ongoing, where everything seems very personal and, you know, Prime can just abandon the universe to hang out on Earth. Like, yeah. There's other stuff going on. I thought that was very cool, too. The Prowl in it was all pure genius.
He is, when he's written by Roche.
Yeah. If Roche and Roberts would write, like, they just need to write, like, a Prowl ongoing, I would totally read that.
Oh,
definitely. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Prowl is a character that can really be taken a long way with the right people working him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they set up for him so brilliantly. I mean, like, the character that was in All Hail Megatron 15, you could have gotten 10 years of stories out of. Easy, without having to mess with it. I mean, it was just, like, immaculately set up.
Yeah.
And what they did in the Spotlight was, like, yeah, now he's kind of like insecure, borderline Sunbow Prowl. It was like, why would you do that? I don't know. It was like watch something breaks. Someone breaks something truly precious just because they were bored.
I almost want to say that he's still that Prowl, though, because I kind of get the feeling that he's the manipulator and, you know, the guy that's behind the scenes. He likes the power. He's a control freak. And now he's kind of given the freedom to not have to worry about those things because of what position that Prime put him in. And so it gives him an opportunity to kind of develop his softer side a little bit. Not that I'm saying that they're all soft because they're big robots, but it's the fact that when he's dealing with humans, you can't use the same logic as you do when you deal with robots. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just can't imagine the prowl that we've seen from Roche and Roberts not knowing what he was going to do on the day the war ended. Just, I don't know, just this whole, like, concept of, like, oh, no, it's because he just knows war. He's just all about war. No, he just knows – he's about organization. He's about, you know, planning and, you know, I don't know. I just don't – I don't feel the same at all when I read the two characters. They just seem completely unrelated. It seems like that's, like, Prowl's stupid brother who lives up the hall. He seems so – he seems so separate, like he could have popped his head into Prowl's office at the end of Wreckers 5 and been like, hey, some of the guys are defecting. What do you think we should just leave me alone, okay? Sure, because I think they got a keg. Yes, I'm sure. Thank you. You know.
Well, great. Now, great, Ender. Now I want a story with a Transformer kegger.
That would be Sideswipe Spotlight.
Yeah. Actually, in Ironhide, they were drinking. That's probably about the closest you're going to get. Yeah. I just understand. Ironhide was so good, and I just dislike the ongoing so much. Though Ironhide, of course, again, completely undermined the ongoing. They keep having these like miniseries on the side that make their supposedly primary thrust make no sense.
like Bumblebee playing with a little girl.
Yeah. Well, things like on day one of the first time going, I'm like, killing Ironhide is a cheap shot. He's going to be back in 10 minutes, and the cheap shot isn't even working on me because it's meaningless. I know it's not going to go anywhere. I don't even buy it. And here it is. Like, oh, by the way, we already planned when we were bringing him back. Because we just saw Moon with Sam Rockwell last week. Just like... I'm the only person who saw it, so I'm not surprised no one laughed. But that seems to be what's going on there.
Sorry.
Is that one Moon?
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick it up next time
I go down to the video store. But it's a good movie. It's a downer, but it's a good movie.
It's the sci-fi though.
Yes, Wreckers is a downer too. So.
Transformers generally
Wreckers was awesome though.
There generally isn't good endings in Transformers, so. Well, that's kind of the way it works.
Well, part of the horrible reality of life is that the reason the sad stories seem more compelling is because life is usually kind of more like that than it is like Indiana Jones. You know?
I don't know. Did you see the last one?
No, but that's just it. Something like Wreckers is showing you a piece of someone's life that's a downer. Going to see Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull was part of the downer that is your life. It's a completely different problem. That was the reality of disappointment. Yeah. So yeah, you have made the mistake of wasting a perfectly good hour or so listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Or in this case, Radio Occupied Cybertron. And if you're foolish enough to come back, you can find us at tfradio.net or on TFormers. You can follow us on Twitter, where we are simply TF Radio, or on Facebook, where we are all three words of Radio Free Cybertron. You can find us our other shows, Superhero Time, which does Power Rangery stuff, which has a name that I won't say for dire fear of saying it wrong.
Troops.
Pronunciation would be just a killer there, and I just don't want to do it. Where me and Chris McFeely roll up comic books and try and poke our eyes out over the Atlantic. And Outside the Cage, our MMA and wrestling podcast, which I've never heard, but I'm sure is great. So,
okay.
That's the most glowing praise that I can offer. Sorry, Gabe. I don't know who you are, but I'm deeply sorry. So thank you for joining us, and we will be back next week with a competent host.
Maybe. Maybe. Or we might have Kilby back.
For those of you who are listening to this live, you're probably the only people who will ever hear this podcast. And thanks for stopping.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Not as sorry as I am. All right.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.